Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser, set it off.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why Axe and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me. How's everybody doing? I'm doing well. This episode, my guest is Miss Bunny Love. We talk about her husband, Paul Christie, working for Dick the Bruiser, and much more that is coming up soon. Before we get there, one last reminder. This coming Saturday, November 8th, I will be attending the Coastal Wrestling Federation show called Overload. It's in Milton, Florida, so if any of you listeners are in that area, come to the show, seek me out, and say hi. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have my interview with Bunny Love. Phil Singer Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. Humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, three-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real-life stars or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit PhilSingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is Filsinger Games, FilSingerGames.com to order now. If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2, and Screams. And welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. At this time, I'm being joined by the former wrestler, manager, and wife of Paul Christie, Miss Bunny Love. Ma'am, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. So let's talk. Let's talk all things Bunny Love. You're from Chicago, right?
Yes, I am.
So tell us what it was like for you growing up in Chicago.
I can remember actually my very first address. It was 7446 West Addison.
Okay.
My dad's mom and dad lived kitty corner across the street from us. I didn't live there very long, but it was quiet back then. Like, you know, you didn't have to worry about too much stuff other than motorcycle gangs.
Yeah.
Back then, that was the big thing. And I ended up growing up in Romeoville. But my mom and dad got divorced when I was about, 4. And she ended up joining a motorcycle gang.
Nope.
And I remember all these bikes street, like all in front of the house. And I remember these people all in our living room. And I'm thinking, she don't know all these people. There's no way she knows all these people. And that was my introduction to the motorcycle life.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it was pretty quiet, like I said, you know, until my mom and dad got divorced, and then things took a nice, lovely turn for the worst.
Yeah. But but one of your escapes was, right, you were a fan of pro wrestling, and you were a regular at the shows, correct?
Yeah. I, when I moved to Romeoville, I was living with my grandparents.
Okay.
And I started watching wrestling when I was about 7 or 8. And it just, it was accidental, actually. I was just flipping through the channels like a kid does.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching these four big guys and this little person was like running in circles. And these two guys picked this poor man up over their heads and just dropped him on the top rope. And this poor guy was bouncing all over the ring. And I'm thinking, oh my God, they're going to kill this guy. And I didn't, I mean, I really, at this point, didn't even know what I was watching. I just,
yeah.
So now I can't stop watching because I'm thinking this poor little guy is going to die. Well, then I see these two smaller, like big, burly guys, and they just beat the crap out of these two big guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another blonde-headed guy, and he's flipping over these ropes back and forth and running like a chicken with his head cut off. And all I could remember at the end, it said, and the winners, the world's most dangerous wrestler, Dick the Bruiser and the Crusher. And I'm like, oh, wow. So that was it. I was done. I was like, I got to watch this. So I watched it ever since.
Yeah. And while attending the shows, that's where you first saw and met Paul Christie. So tell us a little about that.
Okay. People don't believe this because it's too like weird. They were wrestling at my high school on October 4th of 74. I was 13.
Okay.
Now, I'm sitting on the bleachers where all the wrestlers are going in and out, and I always liked the bad guys or the heels. I did.
Yeah.
So at this time, Jimmy Valiant was one of my favorites, and Duke, and you know.
Yeah.
So there's this guy standing and leaning against the wall. And he looks over at me and he goes, what are you doing after the matches? I go, I'm going home. What's it to you? And he's like, okay. See, I mean, I did not know who he was. I thought he was very good looking, but at 13, what do you know? Every guy's good looking.
Yeah, that's right.
So he turns around and he walks back into the dressing room. Now, I don't know this until, of course, we actually start dating.
Mm-hmm.
But the cops were telling him in the back, you need to stay away from her. And Chris is like, okay, why? He goes, they go, well, number one, her mother's in a motorcycle gang. And number two, she's 13. And Chris is like, yeah, no. She's not 13. He goes, they're like, yeah, nope. Not even close, pal.
Yeah.
And that was like it. He's like, yeah, okay, I'm good, I'm done.
Yeah.
So I go to school like that Monday, and my gym teacher asks me all, you know, who won and everything. And my gym teacher had this cologne on. And I said, so I tell him what happened with Chris, how he's talking to me, asking me out on a date. And I said, he had this cologne on, and I go, it smells just like what you got on. And he said, it's Brute. And I said, that's it. I said, that's what that guy had on. And that was I went on living my life and, you know, dating, prom, whatever. When I got my driver's license, I started going to Hammond Civic Center.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where I met Duke and I met Johnny Starr and Johnny Valiant and Jimmy Valiant and
yep.
Spike and, you know, the whole group. And
sure.
It was so funny because I talked wrestling. I told them all what my dream was. And really, it wasn't like nothing special. I mean, we were just like, I was just getting to know these guys. It wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, hey, let me take you out for a drink, or hey, yeah. let me do this, or let me do that. It was nothing like that.
Sure.
And I mean, they all signed my yearbook and everything. I'd go to school and they would laugh at me because they didn't believe me.
Yep.
So it was so funny because I hated school. That was socialized time for me.
Yeah.
And I would always bring a wrestling magazine into class.
Yep.
And I, you know how you prop up your books back in the day and
yep.
like either go to sleep or write notes or whatever. I was actually reading the wrestling books.
Yeah.
Well, my social studies teacher catches me. He says, bring that up here. And he's pointing to all these wrestlers and he goes, who's this? You know, and I had to answer all the questions. Would you believe that I got a C plus in social studies and I never opened the book because I would sit with my social studies teacher and talk wrestling. And he was so impressed that I knew it all, but I hated social studies.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, she knows it. She's getting it. So yeah. So I got a C in that class. Never opened up a book.
That's hilarious. Well, of course, eventually, right down the road, you and Paul, you started seeing each other. And so
yes.
once you're seeing each other, once things are progressing, whatever, tell me how the idea was brought up for you to enter the professional wrestling business.
Okay. So we're out to dinner. And he says, you know, like, what do you want to do with your life?
Okay.
You know, what do you want to do and what do you want to be? And I said, believe it or not, I said, and you're going to laugh at me. I said, but I want to be the first female manager of a man. There are no female managers in the wrestling. Right. There is not.
Yep.
And he nodded his head. He says, oh, okay. I said, that was my dream. I said, I have no idea how I'm going to do it or if it's ever going to happen. But that has always been my dream. So Chris and I are dating for like about 4 months. And of course, he's been talking to Bruiser about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we go on this mini vacation in Terre Haute, Indiana. And on the 4th of July, he comes, you know, I'm sitting in the car just watching everything, just relaxing. And he comes back and he says, okay, he says, you're going to walk me to the ring. And I'm like, shut up. He says, no, he says, no, he says, if this is what you want, he said, now's the time to do it. I said, yeah, I'm doing it. I'm all for it.
Uh-huh.
So I had on blue jeans and a black shirt, long sleeve shirt. And I had heels on.
Okay.
And that's how I made my actual debut. And I mean, I'm really, really, honestly, I was a natural for this.
Yeah.
And I was a natural to be a heel. And I'm telling you, when I finally actually appeared at the amphitheater in Chicago, I normally was walking like behind them, but this time for some reason I was walking in front of them and the lights are all on me and the music is going and the people are yelling and he says, all eyes are on you now, baby. You made it. And I'm telling you, I thought I was a big old peacock, man. I start strutting like there was
there
nothing to stop me.
That's
it was,
right.
It was awesome. And he goes, you made it. You've arrived. And I'm like, I did.
Yeah.
I sure did.
Yeah. And you're mentioning July 4th. That's in 1979.
Yep.
Yeah. When you made this debut. And right. And And people, right? The first female manager, right? Because females have been involved before, but it's like a valet thing, right? Or a slave girl or whatever it may be, right? They just stand at ringside
Exactly.
and whatever else. But
Right.
your involvement was a little more. And obviously, right, your credit is Paul trained you for
Yes.
this, for whatever. But of course, at that time, right, that had to be very much on the fly, right? A little here, a
Yes.
little there. It's not like
Yes.
there was a place you could go every week.
Exactly.
So it was kind of learn as you go, kind of, right? I mean,
Exactly. For
yeah.
me, it was, yeah. I did not know how to take bumps. A girl didn't show up. I did not want to be a wrestler. That was not my intentions. I wanted to
Yeah.
be a manager like Bobby Heenan. He was, when I saw the stuff that he was doing, I'm like, I can do that. I can do that. And for, and when I did this, everybody was on eggshells. Like, we would do the hold of the week. And if
Yeah.
Chris was being too rough with me, people would call the station and say, "Hey, you can't be doing this stuff. This is abuse and whatever." So we had to tone it down.
Yeah.
And then, there was a lot more things I wanted to do as a manager, but because I was a female, it's like our hands were really still tied
Yeah.
for like for the longest time. There was only so much, I wanted like people, to come after me.
Yeah.
But, they just it didn't really happen at first. So I just had to pretty much, play by ear. And one minute they're calling me a manager, and the next minute they're calling me a valet, and next minute they're saying I'm a second. And I'm like, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was the first female manager.
Yeah.
I started it all.
Yeah.
As up to my knowledge, there was no women on TV.
Sure. Yeah, and like you said, your first appearance, right? WWA Terre Haute, Fort Bruiser. What did
Yep.
at this time, right? People, there's a lot of things, right? That people talk about Bruiser as a booker. But what did he think? I mean, that seems pretty open-minded for Dick. What did he have to say about if Paul approached him about this? What was I mean? Obviously, he went for it.
Yeah,
What was Bruiser's response?
I don't know what Chris told him, but I mean, here, I'm 18. I'm young, I'm tall, I'm thin, and there's, why not? Why not try it and see where it goes?
Yeah.
I think Bruiser had a lot of respect for me
Yeah.
because Chris always did promos, and when he did his promo, it was always like usually a one-shot deal. And Bruiser loved that. So we were doing a promo, and Bruiser decided, oh, okay, he was going to test me apparently. And Chris is doing his thing, and Bruiser sees a cricket on the floor,
Okay.
and he throws it at me, and it ends up on my dress, and it's crawling up, and I'm like, holy crap. I can't fling it off. I got Dick the Bruiser in front of me. I'm gonna fling this off. No way. So, and then Chris grabs my arm and he's like, and Miss Bunny's gonna jump up and down, and I'm trying to jump up and down and watch this cricket crawling up me, and I'm like, oh my Lanta. After the promo was over, I fling it off and I yell and I look at Bruiser, I said, you jerk. And Bruiser's just dying laughing. Just dying. So at that point, I was in. And any girl that I wrestled, Bruiser would have me call the match, call the shots, and I'm greener than the grass. And these women have been around for a long time, but he said, Bunny, you take care of it. You do this and this, and so and so's going over, or you're going over, or DQ, whatever it is. And I called it all, and I was like, what an unbelievable honor that was to get from Dick the Bruiser alone.
And while you debuted with the WWE, one place that you worked quite a bit with Paul was in the ICW. So
Yes.
tell me a little bit, because right, ICW is a man, I don't even know how to describe that, right? There's a lot of stories about how Wild West that was, right? How
Yes.
off the cuff that was. What was it like working in ICW for the Poffos?
First of all, that family is tighter than tight.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever met like family like outside of the business like in my life. I mean, I've got close family and close family friends and stuff, but
Yeah.
this family is like it's like crazy glue.
Yeah.
There ain't no breaking it. So, and Chris always kept, he would always like, brief me on, okay, Randy's like this and Lanny's like this and Angelo, and you got to be careful what you say here and you got to be careful what you say there. And first I'm thinking, why? I mean, I am who I am. Why do I got it? And he's like, well, these guys are very business, and you don't want to say something wrong because they're going to look at you this way or they're going to look at you that way, and you're going to screw yourself. So you're best just to be quiet and or be respectful, which I was, all the way around. And that was how I was when I met any wrestlers. I don't care who they are. Like, I just met like Mick Foley and Jake the Snake and Natalya, and I was very respectful. Can I, or even though I'm in the business, I still, and I was there first, I still give them respect. I mean, that's just, for me, that's how it should be. You give each other respect, and I was already halfway gone when, or mostly gone when these guys all were coming up and everything. They probably don't even, now Natalia said she heard of me, but I don't know. And that was it. So I was pretty shocked with that. But nobody else has really said anything unless I mention Chris's name. And then, if they know him, then they know of me. So, but the Poffos, I had no problems at all with them. They were not out of line or anything. Lanny would always crack my neck in the dressing room, and that was great. And Randy would, when we would talk about me interfering, he'd say, okay, now I am going to do this, and I'm coming full force. So if you don't move, sorry about your luck.
That's right.
And I'm like, okay. And my heel got caught that night that he said that. He come flying across the ring with a full-on punch. I could feel the wind next to my face. I moved just in time. Seriously, that was the scariest thing I've ever done. Yeah, but they were. I have the utmost respect for the Poffos. Utmost respect.
Well, let's
I enjoyed working with them.
yeah. So let's talk. Let's go through some names of just a few, a handful of ladies that you may have worked with or around,
Okay.
and that maybe the listeners, some of these the listeners probably don't know of. That's kind of why I want to bring them up. So you just tell me whatever comes to mind, whatever stories you have associated with these ladies, and let's start with the lady
Okay.
you did some mixed tag matches with, you and Paul. Against Spike and Tina Carr. Tell me about Tina Carr.
Yes. she was nice. I mean, the funny thing is that, you don't talk really a whole lot in the dressing rooms. You go over what you're going to do, and you kind of like do your own thing. I mean, I never really was with a lot of girls, because I just was a fill-in. I mean, they were either there one time or a couple times, and that was pretty much it. The girl that I worked with the most was Alice Cooper.
And that's she's another name on the list. Tell me, because a lot of people don't know of Alice Cooper, but she was pretty prominent there in Indianapolis for a while. So tell me about Alice Cooper.
She was real nice, real nice. We got along. There was no like tug of war kind of thing. Like, she did whatever Bruiser said, and when we would go over the match, there were certain things that she wanted to do, and if I couldn't do them, I would let her know, look, I've never done this. And she was really good about it, you know, or I would say, and I'd like to make, you know, do this move. And she was all for it.
Yeah.
So it was really nice working with her, and she was not stiff at all. And it was nice. I really liked working with her.
Yeah. And people need to, at that time, people need to understand, right, that on these shows, if there was a women's match, it would be you. Like, if it was Alice, it'd be you and Alice. That's it. There's not like there's this whole locker room of women. There's one women's match, if that. So, so there's not like there's a women's quote unquote locker room.
Right.
So it's a whole different kind of social setting, so to speak. So,
yeah. And you know, like, I mean, me, I get along pretty much with everybody as a rule.
Yeah.
But, you know if you're going to gel with somebody or not.
Yeah.
You know, when I had to do a mud match with, in Springfield for the Poffos.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought this was going to be a big old rib, but it wasn't. Randy got me. And, Chris said, Bunny, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. And I said, oh yeah. I said, Randy's not ribbing me. I'm telling you right now. He goes, no, I know Randy. I know he would have said something. I said, yeah, no. Because I didn't bring my gear because there wasn't going to be no girls.
Yeah.
Well, at the last minute, this comes up. And, well, I'm already on the road. I don't have my gear, so I go get gear. And I was so mad having to get in that mud. I was livid. and this girl is big busted and blonde. And she's like, okay, don't do this and don't do that. And you can't do this. And I'm like, why? And she says, because I wear contacts. I said, take the damn things out. I mean, I was so mad that I had to do this.
Yeah.
But of course, it's for the business. And she threw mud in my face. Oh, I saw red. I just saw red.
Yeah.
And she went down. And I think I almost suffocated her. I mean, I had her in that mud so bad. When it was over and she was in the shower, her face was all scratched up and beet red. And I felt bad, but I was so mad.
Yeah. Well,
I was so mad.
Yeah. Tell me about a former, she was on the show previously, but tell me about Dawn Prince. And she was another mainstay in WWA. Did you ever work with her?
No.
Nope.
If I did, it was very early, and I don't remember.
Okay. Well, then let's move on. How about another name that I'm curious about? And again, I don't know if you worked her per se, but I always ask about Jungle Princess. Do you know anything about her?
No.
Okay.
I wrestled Princess Jasmine.
Sure. Right. A trainee of Art Thomas. Yeah. I'm always curious about Jungle Princess because there's not a lot of information about her. So I always bring her name up to see if I can learn something about her.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
Well, let me ask you then about a name from ICW that the former wife of Rip Rogers, Brenda Britton. I don't know if you worked her per se, but I'm assuming at some point in ICW you were around Brenda. Is that correct?
Nope.
No, you weren't there at the same time.
Nope.
Well,
I was the only female 90% of the time.
Okay. So Brenda would have came later, but well, let me ask you about this. Cause she obviously went on to bigger things and she was involved in ICW, but not as a manager. What about Miss Elizabeth, who did some interview spots and segments? Did you ever encounter her in ICW recording any of these spots?
Oh yes. Yes. We did promos and she did all the questions and interviews and stuff like that and ran the cameras and everything. Yeah. She was a sweetheart.
Yeah.
A absolute sweetheart. I'm sick that they're all gone.
Yeah. What would you have ever envisioned that Miss Elizabeth would have been what she became in wrestling at that time?
No.
Yeah.
Knowing Randy the way I knew Randy, no.
Yeah.
I would have bet for sure that he wouldn't let her in the business unless he wanted her to be commentary is what he wanted her to do.
Okay.
And she was fine with that.
Yeah.
But when Vince saw her, then, I mean, that's how that all came about, because they had just gotten married.
Yeah.
And then he didn't want to leave her behind.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't have thought, only because you hear all the stories now how it was.
Sure. Yep.
You know, Chris had to stand out in front of the ladies' bathroom so nobody could get in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if Randy had to go do something, he'd say, "Chris, keep an eye on her."
Yeah.
He trusted Chris and he trusted Lanny. Now, yeah. That was when Chris was with WWF and he wasn't there very long, but
yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I was like, I could not live like that. They would come and visit and Randy would say, "Bunny, you know, can you go grab a few things from the store?" I said, "Yeah, listen, I can go." He goes, "Oh no, no, no." He said, "Just you."
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at him like, you're ribbing me, right?
Yeah.
He's like, no, she can't go. She can't go. I'm like, it's to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Like, nope. Mm-mm. Yeah. I'll never forget that.
What do you think that was? Do you think that was Randy not trusting her? Or what? What was it?
I didn't think it was that. Liz was so tiny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I probably could pick her up and throw her over my shoulder. I think that's number one. And I think, I mean, he really loved her. He really did.
Yeah.
And I think he wanted to really protect her like he felt a man should protect his wife.
Yeah.
Now, okay. See, Chris was different because you know, as you can tell, I'm a social butterfly. I talk to people and I want to get to know people. And
yeah.
Liz is fairly quiet, you know.
Yeah.
I can stand up for myself. I have a mouth on me.
Yeah.
And if I, you know, if I'm where Chris tells me I shouldn't be, Chris will say, "Well, that's on you. You deal with it now."
Yeah.
You know, he will not come to my defense unless it was like serious. And sure. I never had any of those problems because the guys all respected me. Did they joke around? Yeah, they joked around. Did they ever try to hit on me? No. Yeah. Never. Gotcha. But I mean, I'm a loudmouth. So, you know, it could have been because they knew that I would say something to Chris,
mm-hmm.
or because they really respected Chris.
Right.
You know, or because they weren't interested. What, you know, but I'm not quiet.
Yeah.
I am not quiet. Now, Liz, on the other hand, you know, she probably would wait until they were away and then Randy would, you know, flip his lid and, you know, you don't want that.
Sure.
So, they stayed, you know, I don't know the stories that she had, but Chris and I were always in our dressing room together.
Yeah.
And that's because we didn't, you know, he was married.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know he was married. I feel bad about that. But, you know, at 18, you think you know everything and you don't.
Yeah.
You got a guy that's 22 years older than you that finds you super attractive and you're getting your dream. You know, what do you do?
Yeah.
Plus, you have already fell in love with them. And I knew that at 13. I knew that this guy was going to be in my life. I had no idea how, but I knew I was going to see him again.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. And when you started wrestling, you worked plenty of singles matches, but speaking of Paul, you also worked lots of mixed tag matches with Paul, that was unique for that time. Mixed tag matches were very unique. That had to be really fun for you and Paul at the time, though, to get to tag together and do that.
I love this business. I love it.
Yeah.
And if I could still be doing it today, I would be.
Yeah.
I mean, I just Oh my gosh. It was the best times I've ever had.
Yeah.
Just the best.
Yeah. And you spent several years, right, working for Dick the Bruiser, which
Yes.
again, just is surreal, unbelievable, legendary name. What was it like working for Bruiser? Because none of us will know what it was like to experience Bruiser like you experienced him. What was he like to work for?
Okay, you first have to understand that, I was the kid watching Dick the Bruiser and the Crusher.
Yeah.
Now, before Jimmy Valiant came along, Bruiser and Crusher were my idols. I mean, those guys were like unstoppable to
Yeah.
me.
Right.
I mean, talk about painting a picture, man. They were amazing.
Yeah.
So once Chris smartens me up to the business, I go into TV, and now this is right. Well, I want to say there's Spike and Chris are still doing the feud because he turned on Spike.
Sure.
So I walk in and I see Wilbur Snyder, I
Yeah.
see Dick the Bruiser, I see Spike Huber, I see Sam Miniker, and a couple other guys in the distance. And I walk in and I'm like, oh my God.
Right, yeah.
Oh my flipping God.
Yeah.
And Chris walks up to Wilbur, pulls out his calendar book, starts writing the dates and everything. And, or no, opposite. He went to Bruiser first, got all of our bookings, and then went to Snyder and got our paychecks.
Okay.
Now I'm watching this and everybody's laughing and okay, thank you. A handshake here, a handshake there. Then he walks over to Spike and I'm going, oh, here we go. They're gonna kill each other right here. Now that's the wrestling fan in me. I'm thinking
Yeah.
for this second, I'm like, oh, this is gonna go so bad. So bad. And they're over there laughing. And my heart
Yeah.
is like just popping out of my chest, going, what is happening? Because you watch it for so long as a kid, and back then it was believable. I
Yeah,
mean,
absolutely.
a lot of the stuff was just, oh my gosh, I can't even. But very nice. I mean, I had Bruiser treated me with respect. Couple times he came in the dressing room, inappropriate, but of course I didn't feed into it, I just listened to what he had to say and went on with what I was supposed to do because that was my job.
Yeah.
But he was never he was he was very respectful, and I was really surprised actually.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Dick the Bruiser. He's the boss,
Yeah. And you mentioned that Paul went to Dick for the bookings, Wilbur for the paycheck. Is that how kind of how the business, because obviously everybody knows, right? Dick and Wilbur were partners. Is that how it kind of broke down, right? Dick was booking talent, booking shows a lot of the time. Wilbur was handling the pay in, the business end. Okay.
Yeah,
Because
it was really something to see. I mean, there was, Bob Luce would come, once in a while and do some of his stuff, but yeah, I mean, Wilbur, just business. They looked like business,
Yeah.
they were of course like in their tank tops or cut off shirts or whatever,
Yeah.
but I mean, once they were off camera, they were, hey, so you can do this, and are you all right with these dates? And what date did you have to have off or whatever? Oh, we really need you over here. And I mean, all business, but
Yeah.
it was all like respectful, like no screaming, no yelling, no, nothing. I mean, it was nice. I mean, I wouldn't know. I mean, if it's different, I wouldn't know. You know what I
Right.
mean? Because that's how I know it as.
Sure. Yeah, that was your experience. Yeah. And during his WWA run, Paul had a couple different tag team title runs here and there, but one that you were involved with was when Paul teamed with Roger Kirby and they were tag champs.
Yes.
So tell us, because Roger Kirby is such an underappreciated talent, a guy that people don't talk about enough. Tell us about your experience with Paul teaming with Roger and you working with him.
So Roger was another one that was fairly quiet. You know, Chris would crack jokes or say stuff and Roger would look at him and, you know, laugh a little bit. And sometimes Roger will get in one-liners and, you know, because you don't expect it because he's just kind of like a quiet guy. Well, he was at least around me.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, he was always nice to me. He, you know, we talked and, you know, it was just like, I mean, like friends, like, mm-hmm. even though they weren't tag team partners for long.
Yeah.
It felt like they were like, they kind of like, they just like gelled, I guess. Yeah,
they did,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was nice. And he, boy, the bumps that he could take was, and Juice, holy moly. That guy could bleed buckets.
Yeah.
I mean, literally buckets. But yeah, just, I mean, very nice. And see, you know, the other thing is, like I was saying, like, Chris always wanted me to stay in my dressing room because he didn't want anybody to get the wrong idea. You know, oh, Bunny's walking the halls. What, you know, what is she looking for?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I wasn't. I'm just a friendly person, you know, and it took Chris a little bit to understand that too, you know?
Yeah.
But everybody that I ever talked to knew that I was with Chris. So, you know, so all the talking and how I got to know people was mostly in the ring or as we're waiting to go out, you know, you talk, hey, how's the wife? How are the kids? And tell so-and-so I said hi kind of thing. And that's pretty much it, you know? It's not like how Chris can be in the room with all the guys and they catch up or they play cards or whatever, because I'm over there by myself.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's how Liz was too most of the time.
Yeah, right. Again, people need to keep that perspective, right? There's not like there's a locker room full of women. It's
no.
So there's just, you know, one, two maybe at most, and that's it. So it's a different, whole different setup, a whole different scenario. Then, you know, some of the modern,
and you get lonely,
right?
You
get
lonely and you get bored.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's even harder when you're a heel, because I want to go out and see the matches because I want to learn.
Yeah.
I want to get some ideas, and I really can't because I'm not supposed to sign autographs. I'm not supposed to talk to nobody because I'm a bitch, you know, but and it's a double-edged sword when you look at it that way, you know? So, I mean, I think Chris really, you know, finally got the, you know, understood where I was coming from. And like I said, I could handle myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I always did. So I never had really any problems.
Yeah. Well, of course, Paul was always, of course, the primary wrestler you always managed.
Yes.
But I'm sure, right? There had to have been, was there ever guys along the way that you managed also?
No.
No, okay.
I never managed anybody other than Chris.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Right, exclusively to Paul. So when Paul went to the WWE in the mid-80s, right? It was towards the end of his career.
Yeah.
And you know, he was, you know, kind of doing that magician thing, got some exposure, but he wasn't in this major spot. You weren't with him, right? There was nobody left.
No.
I would assume that part of that was due to the fact that, you know, Paul wasn't really featured in a very high profile role. And part of that, I would assume, maybe because Elizabeth's there and they're wanting to keep her unique in what she's doing. But was there ever any hope in your part that maybe you would get there as part of a package with Paul?
Yes, I was praying for that. And again, I'm a jealous person. Now, you also have to keep in mind, okay, Chris was married when he first started dating me.
Right.
So if I'm his mistress already, and now I'm gonna sit at home and he's gonna go on the road, yeah, no. No. I was livid. Literally livid. And actually we broke up for a time because I was not gonna deal with it.
Yeah, because a lot of people may not know, right, during all this time, you're not married yet.
No, we were no.
Yeah, you were just together. So you're
Yeah.
saying you did break up for a point at a point during this time.
Yeah. When he went on the road with WWE, drinking started happening more and he started like going back to his old ways. And I kept warning him. And I said, you're going to come home one day and I'm not going to be here if you don't stop. And he goes, well, you'll be the first one that ever left me. And I said, well, yeah, might want to get ready because I'm not joking. Now, before all this, it was yes, Chris, no, Chris, whatever you want, Chris. Well, now I'm older. Now I'm a little, well, I'm a lot more wiser than I was at 18.
Sure,
I'm like, yeah, nope, I don't have to take this, and I'm worth more, and I love them, and I love the business, but I deserve better than this. I do. And when you make fun of me and tease me, and it's not a rib in front of Randy and Liz, that's it. I was done.
Okay, so
And
wait,
everybody's.
if you don't want to talk about it, did that happen while he was in WWE?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Okay.
Yes, it did.
Okay.
And I was, I thought about it and thought about it for such a long time and lost sleep over it. And finally, he came home for a few days and we didn't really talk much. And he went back on the road and he happened to call me from the airport as I was moving my stuff out. He goes, okay, something's wrong. He goes, what's going on? I said, I warned you. I said, I'm leaving. He goes, you're leaving? I said, yeah. I said, I worship the ground you walk on. I give you everything. I do everything. And you're gonna treat me like this? I deserve better. I can't do this. I can't do it no more. And I said, I will always love you and I want you, to be happy. And obviously you're not. I'm not right now. I said, and I hope we can be friends. Now his mother was living with us at the time because she had dementia or Alzheimer's. So she wasn't real bad, but I still, even though I moved out, I still checked on his mom all the time to make sure that she was okay. Because I couldn't leave her there and he was already on the road. So we were broke up for a couple months and then I couldn't handle it no more. So I was gonna go crawling back and he beat me to it. He was ringing my aunt's phone off the wall. So as I pull up and I hear the phone ringing and my aunt's yelling, get that phone. Get that phone. I'm sick of hearing his voice. She goes, he's called all day long. And yeah, it was him on the phone. And we went out to dinner and talked everything over. And that was pretty much it. But he swerved me still. He's good at that.
He
Okay.
what was that? You said he swerved you
Go
still?
ahead.
No, you said he swerved you still?
Yeah.
W
Yeah,
meaning
he swerved
meaning
me. He's always told me we're going to get married.
Okay,
So, in order for Chris would always like because I'm such a sucker for stuff, he would say, "Okay, we're going to play this game. If I win, you got to massage me." So, at first, I wasn't catching it, but he was setting me up all the time. And he would always win. So he'd always get his massages. And I'd always be sitting there going, how did he win? How did he do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when it came to us getting back together, I said, you know, I want to be married.
Right.
I deserve that. Yeah. So he says, okay, we'll do it.
Okay.
So we went and looked at wedding rings. We picked out a date. I mean, he was going with the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
So once I moved back in, he says, we had a little bit of a tiff, and I said, I'm not holding back no more. I told you, I'm not holding back.
Yeah.
He goes, well, he goes, we're not getting married.
Okay.
And I lost it. He goes, I knew that was the only way you would come back and move back in is if I told you I would marry you. He goes, I'm not saying we won't get married. He goes, but we're not doing it now. So he waited until I got everything in the house and moved back in and then did that. I was so mad.
What was his hesitation? Why wouldn't he marry you?
Well, because Chris is a ladies' man.
All right. Okay.
I mean, if I was his mistress, okay, come on. If I was his mistress, let's look at it. And I mean, you're in the wrestling business.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You're a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
Women throw themselves at you. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. You know.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I don't, you know, but with me, I mean, I was a virgin with Chris.
Uh-huh.
So he made me what he wanted in a woman. So why wouldn't he is what my thought was. But he goes, it'll change. It'll change. It'll change. I said, I've been with you this long. How's it going to change? Is that going to change?
Yeah.
And I didn't. He did.
Yeah.
He did the changing.
Yeah.
He said, why are you taking my name? I said, well, I like my last name. I said, I don't have to have your name. He goes, well, I married you. He says, you have to take my name. I mean, he was like upset about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, fine. Not okay. No big deal.
Yeah.
But yeah. And you know, where are you going? Where are you going? I go, I'm going to the store. Where are you going with your friends? We're going out to dinner. I don't do the things that you used to do.
Right.
And, yeah, he was, and at the same time, I have to say that he was also starting to get sick. So,
okay.
I mean, and I think he was worried that I was going to leave him because of the age difference and because he was getting sick.
And you're talking about at the point when you finally did get married, correct?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah, it was, it was hard.
Right.
But
yeah.
I mean, so, but like I said, once he got me in the house, you know, what do? Do I move back out or do I stay with the guy that I'm madly in love with?
Sure. Yeah.
And not get married. I'm like, screw it. You know, just whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And we didn't get married until 2006.
Yeah.
And I've been
right.
with him since 79.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
And I didn't even think that I even gave him a chance to get out of that. I said, okay. I'm going to make the arrangements. Are you sure you want to do this?
Uh-huh.
He's like, yeah, yeah, yes. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I gave him the option.
Yeah.
I don't want him to marry me because that's what I want. Mm-hmm. I want him to marry me because that's what he wanted.
Correct.
And it's funny because he wanted it.
Sure.
And I didn't think I was ever going to get married.
Yeah.
If I wasn't going to marry him, I was going to marry nobody.
Right.
And even now, he's been gone 4 years.
Uh-huh.
I haven't dated or nothing.
Yeah.
And I won't.
Right.
Well, I won't either.
Right. Well, when he's in the WWE and things are happening, right, and you said you broke up for a period, was there ever at any point any thought of you trying to have a run somewhere else on your own?
No.
No. On your part or his part or both?
Well, he really didn't have a say when we were broke up.
Correct.
So
okay.
It was really on my part.
Okay.
I did it. I mean, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have lived my dream.
Sure.
And I did not want to go. I know what the boys are like. I know what it's like.
Yep.
I don't want to do it by myself. I'm not that stupid,
Yep.
you know? And I know that women had to do things to get where they are today. I'm not doing it. And why even torture myself? I got to live my dream. I did it for a while. And nobody can take that from me. But to
Right.
have to but to want to go someplace else and do it is a whole different ball game. And you don't even know who they are. And
Yeah.
they could have like zero respect for you. I'm not dealing with that. I didn't want to.
Right.
So if it wasn't going to be with Chris, it wasn't going to be with anybody.
Right.
So.
Do you or have you watched any modern women's wrestling at all? And if you have, what do you think of that compared to what you had to go through to establish your career and get what you got?
The women have come a long way.
Sure.
I've watched Glow and I've watched WOW. And I think it's great that the women are being shown more. I think that's great.
Yep.
But I think there's too much sex for me.
Okay.
You don't have to show all that to get over. Your talent is what should make people want to come see you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I put extra elastic in my suits so it wouldn't ride up.
Yeah.
So
Right.
less is always more, you know what I mean? And I think great that they're getting those opportunities, but some of the way that it's being done, just you got kids. There's still kids there,
Yep.
and
Yeah.
accidents happen, you have a mishap and stuff. I just think it should be more toned down a little bit, but that's just me, and I'm 65 years old, so
Yeah.
back in my day that was the norm, and everything changes, and I'm not good with change,
Yeah.
so
Well, you mentioned, right, you recently met Natalia and she said that she had heard of you. Do you feel what how do I phrase this? Do you feel at least a pride and knowing what you did, what you accomplished, what you went through to pave the path for these modern wrestlers? Can you, in the place you're in, appreciate that?
Oh, yeah. I'm proud of what I've done.
Yeah.
And I think that me starting with the management, I think that, opened the door. And me being a heel on top of it, I think is what helped. Because here you see a woman that's not afraid to, go after a guy. Or to give a guy something to win, or pull on somebody's leg or their hair, or try to choke them, so you saw that, and then you see Liz. You don't have to do that. You got eye candy, and she didn't wear anything sexy. The dresses, the way attract and sexy, so. I'm proud of what I've done, and no, and the thing is, I always say, I may not have made the money that they're all making today, but I am Miss Bunny Love, and I will always be Miss Bunny Love, and nobody can take that from me.
Right. And if you look back, right, you did it your way. Do you have any regrets when you look back on your career?
No,
Okay.
I don't have any regrets at all. I wish I had the last run with Chris when he went to WWE. I wish I could have went with him,
Yeah.
even if it was for that short time. Because I started my career with him, and it would have been nice if I would have did it with him.
Yeah. Right. Well, and if anybody that knows you or follows you knows you're a regular.
Theoretically, it was already done.
Yeah. Anybody that knows you or follows you knows that you're a regular every year at the Cauliflower Alley convention. And I believe
Yes.
you and Paul were the first to be honored as a husband and wife together as honorees.
Yes.
The first, maybe the
Yes.
only. I'm not sure about that, but I'm pretty sure you're the first at least. How much,
Yes, we are.
yeah, go how much does going to those conventions every year, getting to see some of your friends and colleagues and everything, you could tell you super enjoy it, but how much does that mean to you personally?
I feel like I'm still in the business.
Right.
You know, I know that I'm part of the business, but I'm not in the business.
Right.
So, like this past August, I met Judy Martin.
Yep.
And I remember watching her. And then it's just nice that I can associate with people from the business.
Right.
You know, that's what I like. And I meet new people, you know, like the Nasty Boys.
Yeah,
I
right.
mean, talk about some nice guys. Holy cow, you know. And I just, you know, and then, you know, this past year was Mick Foley. He was on my bucket list, believe it or not. He was on my bucket list. I wanted to meet him because I think that he is just an amazing, amazing performer.
Yeah.
I just, that guy gives it his all and then some. I'm just, wow.
Yeah.
And Bobby Heenan was like that too. You know, the stuff that Bobby Heenan did, I just, unbelievable.
Sure.
And
Right.
all the blood, oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Definitely.
I really do enjoy it. It goes by too fast, but you know,
Yeah.
it's nice.
Yeah, it still encourages that fraternity of professional wrestling, and that that
Yes.
involvement of it. And you did last year release your autobiography, titled Miss Bunny Love, from
I did.
Survivor to the First Female Manager in Pro Wrestling. What made you at that point decide to release that?
Okay. I told you a little bit that my mom was in a motorcycle gang.
Yep.
Well, they made a movie about her and my stepdad.
Really?
And they, yeah. It's
Okay.
called The Bike Riders.
Okay.
And the movie is 95% right on.
Okay.
The ending is not right. The ending
Okay.
is false. But they never talked about her kids
Okay.
because she already had three kids when she got into the motorcycle club. And she made, or they made, the movie like a love story. And
Okay.
technically it was. My stepdad was the love of my mom's life.
Right, okay.
And so they did, but they left out a lot of the bad.
Sure.
And it made me very angry.
Sure, okay.
So I said, okay, all right. Now I'm gonna tell it. Nobody else wants to tell it. I'm gonna tell it.
Right, okay.
So I was abused, and my mother could have done something about it, and she didn't.
Yeah.
Even to the day she died,
Right.
because that was the love of her life.
Yeah.
She put him before us kids, and even now she's gone. It's still. I can't wrap my head around it.
Right.
She had the power to, like, literally have him erased from the earth, put him in a coma, break all of his arms and legs, or whatever, just to, Bunny, I got your back.
Yeah.
Nope, nothing. So I wrote it and I told it all.
Yeah.
I told it all. So
Yeah.
that's why I wrote it. And I wish I could find somebody who would watch that movie, read my book, and read Chris's book, because I'm telling you, that movie would be something to see.
Yeah.
It really would.
Yeah. Yeah, well, obviously,
And
right? It's important to tell your story. And like you mentioned, Paul also released an autobiography in 2005. It was titled The Many Faces of Paul Christy. So I do urge fans and listeners to go get both of those. Check them out, right? I'm sure they gel well together and go hand in hand. I don't think any of you, either of you, excuse me, would pull any punches on telling your story.
well, that was one of the things. I told Chris, I said, if you're going to write a book, I said, you need to tell the truth. I said, there's so many books out here from the boys that are not all true. They're leaving a lot out because they have families. I get that. And I understand that. Chris and I, at that time, we're not married. And I'm like, if you're going to do it, do it. But tell me if you remember something that you haven't told me yet, because if it goes in that book and I don't know about it, you and I are going to be for sure over. I want to know everything that you're going to put in that book so I'm not blindsided. And he did. He, you know, and of course, you know, I didn't like it, but there's nothing I can do with 22 years difference, you know.
And there is a warning, I believe, on the cover of his book about there are
Yes.
some tales of sex and so forth in this book. And
Yes. Yep.
it's wounds and all, you both told your
You
story,
know.
and
Yeah.
that's a very admirable thing, right? To be able to do that. That's vulnerable.
I feel better. I have more closure now than I did.
Sure, of course, right? It's always good to get to tell your story, get it out there. And it's a
Yeah.
vulnerability, but in hindsight, it's always a good step to be able
Yeah.
to admit and everything else. So
Yes.
yeah, buddy, I appreciate you giving me time. Your accomplishments are remarkable. What you've went through is remarkable. I not only the wrestling side of it, right? There's the whole wrestling side and what you accomplished. But I'm very much amazed that you standing strong with Paul to say, hey, if it's this way, no thanks. You stood your ground with the love of your life, and that's hard to do. Most people don't grasp the difficulty in drawing that line, right? With someone you love, and saying, you know what, it's this way or that way. Pick your lane. And standing with it, it's difficult.
Yeah, it is.
And
It is.
thankfully, it
But,
worked out. It worked out, right?
yep.
You and Paul, in the end, overall, were great together. And there it may have been a roller coaster, and maybe ups and downs, but I think, in the end, overall, all worked out for the best.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, and it's not only a wrestling story. It's a whatever you want to call it, a relationship, a people story, a human interest story, whatever you want to call it, right? There's a lot more depth to it than just wrestling. And
Yes.
that's very admirable, 'cause again, there's a lot of times, right, when you said it's Paul with business wise, it's Paul or I'm not going to do it. That's tough to do.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have a lot of choices, didn't have a lot of avenues. So that's a tough stand to take during some of those times when you took it. So that's very admirable.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
And so not only should you get some accolades for being the first female manager in pro wrestling, but again, you were you stood your ground and you stood for you. And that's always the right choice to make. But you did it in a time when it's much more difficult to have done it. And I admire you for that very much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course. And again, I don't want anybody to think anything we've said or done or whatever. I'm not besmirching Paul. Paul was a great guy, great talent. It is what it is, right? People are people. And
Yep.
you and Paul had your thing. It was between you and Paul. No matter what it is, it's no one else's business to judge. It's between you and Paul and your
Right.
relationship. And
Right.
I think overall, in the end, again, I think it worked out for the best. I'm a huge fan of Paul and his talents and what he did in the business. I'm a huge fan of yours, what you did for the business. Again, as a fan of the WWE, right? You guys are very dear to my heart. I think this talk was long overdue. I think it's long past due that you and I had this chat. And
I agree.
yeah, and I'm glad you gave me the time. Is this your first podcast experience?
Yes.
Really? Well, see, there you go. I love first time guests. Love that. And I don't know. I didn't think of that. So that's great. I love that. I love having first time guests on to get to tell their story. So hopefully people enjoy this. Hopefully people will have a new admiration for you. And
Well, I hope so too.
I do.
Time's too
Yeah,
short now.
it is, right? And there's so much of wrestling history that's overlooked and not out there, not being told enough, because people just know the big stuff, right? The big national TV stuff. And
Right.
there's a lot more story to it than that, a lot more history to that. So
Yeah.
hopefully people appreciate the story of Miss Bunny Love and Paul Christie, and hopefully they dig deeper. There's some stuff out there on YouTube to be seen and to be heard and whatever else. So again, Bunny, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you being willing to do this as a first time. I know you mentioned it, right? There's some trepidation, right? It's a little nerves.
Yeah.
Because you've never
Yeah.
done it as an unknown,
Right.
but you did great, and I appreciate the talk.
Well,
And
I thank you for thinking of me, and
of course,
I really do appreciate it. I enjoy talking to you.
yeah, me too, very much. And again, I know we've only interacted online, but I do consider you a friend, Bunny, and I appreciate your time and sharing your stories with me. And it was a blast. It was absolutely an honor. And thank you
Well,
for your
I'm
time.
sorry I didn't have more to
You had plenty. There was a lot there. You went places. You actually went deeper than what I even anticipated. And you opened up. You were very, very honest about your relationship with Paul, which was so admirable. I didn't want to, I didn't want to push at certain things, right? And this and that, but you went there. You took it there. And I love
I
that.
did.
I love that. I
Well,
love the honesty.
Like I said, I'm not a good liar, and I'm so sick of keeping secrets
Sure.
and, don't say this. I'm just like, screw it.
Yeah.
Whatever you're going to think of me, you're going to think anyway, or you already do, it's not going to make a difference.
Absolutely.
But when
And
you
like,
hear it from me, then it's different.
that's right. And like I said, no matter what it was a real good relationships are they're messy. They're always messy. And no matter what's what, you and Paul
Yes,
turned
they
out.
are.
Yeah, you and Paul turned out for the best in the end, and it all worked out, right? Was it always easy? No, no relationship is. And that your
Nope.
candor and your honesty is very admirable, because that's how people should be. Don't be afraid to tell your story.
I agree.
It's honesty is not
I
a
agree.
honesty is not a sign of weakness. And it's very
I
honorable.
wouldn't think so.
I
Well,
agree.
thank
So,
you.
hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod.
Available on all streaming platforms. It's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle, all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here. Lots of new stuff happening here at WrestleCopia. If you haven't checked out our website at WrestleCopia.com, it's a great way to keep up with the latest episodes of all of your favorite Copia programming, from the Wrestling Memory Grenade to Regional Wrestling with the Territory Talk, the Wrestling Stoop with the legendary Bob Roop, and of course, all of those programs also available at your favorite podcast streaming platforms. And if you want to stay up to date with everything going on in the Copia world, all the latest news, random thoughts, fun videos, pictures, and more, make sure to join the more than 33,000 followers over at facebook.com/wrestlinggrenade. Don't be left out. And last, but definitely not least, it's what keeps the entire machine going. I'm talking about patreon.com/WrestleCopia. We appreciate your support in helping us pay the bills to keep the WrestleCopia Podcast Network running and enabling us to continue to bring you all the quality programming that we offer.
All right, and thank you to Bunny for coming on and doing that interview. By the way, her first podcast interview, I love it. Love it when I have first-time podcast guests. Always exciting to do that. Guys, make sure you follow me on social media. I'm on pretty much all the platforms. Just look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty or at The Dave Dynasty, and you can find me there. Also, be sure to subscribe to me on YouTube for lots of classic wrestling content, plus all of my various podcasts. Go check out the WrestleCopia Network of Podcasts. You can find the individual podcasts on your favorite platform, or you can visit WrestleCopia.com. Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Visit ClassicWrestling.net, sign up for your account, and then download the app on all of your smart devices. All right, next episode. My guest is scheduled to be a special episode, one where we talk about one of the most underappreciated wrestlers ever, Bulldog Don Kent. And joining me for that discussion will be none other than Kent's son, Joe Smith. So that should be a fun, maybe heartfelt episode, but Don Kent definitely deserves a little spotlight on him. So we're going to look back on the career, the life of Don Kent with his son, Joe, next episode. So make sure you subscribe to not miss an episode. Guys, thank you once again for joining me. Thank you for listening. And remember, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.